From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. It's been 13 years before Maren Alsop came to wield her baton in Charm City since the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra ventured overseas to perform. That changes next week when more than 100 musicians will head to Scotland, England, and Ireland for a series of concerts. They'll play many works by Leonard Bernstein, who mentored Alsop, the BSO's music director, and whose birth centennial is being celebrated this summer. Performing great works before new audiences on an international stage challenges an orchestra to higher artistry, she said, and transforms musicians into ambassadors.
I'm so excited because, you know, for people to hear the BSO and say, this is what Baltimore's about. That's what I want them to think.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. For the first time in 13 years, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra is heading overseas. 6 days from now, 199 musicians, soloists, conductors, staffers, and guests, along with almost 2 tons of gear, will head to Scotland, England, and Ireland. First stop, the prestigious Edinburgh International Festival, where the BSO will be the only professional American orchestra performing this year. 2 days later, the BSO will make its debut in the BBC Proms, or Promenade Concerts, in London's Royal Albert Hall, and will end its tour at Dublin's National Concert Hall. This is the first time music director Maren Alsop has led the BSO on an international tour, and she's here in the studio to tell us what's behind it. Welcome back to On the Record.
Thank you. Great to see you.
A foreign performance tour sounds really cool, but it obviously also takes a big investment of time, planning, money. Why is it important for the BSO?
Oh, this is a huge opportunity for the orchestra, and really not just the orchestra, but for Baltimore to be recognized internationally. You know, our community here may not realize the level of the symphony here. This is one of the great orchestras of the world, absolutely phenomenal. And to have this kind of treasure here in Baltimore and not be able to get the word out internationally sometimes feels like a small crime. So we're going to try to rectify that. I should tell you the story that the head of the Edinburgh Festival, who was a friend of mine, came. He was listening to all the top orchestras in the United States, and he came through Baltimore to see me. And he said, you know, after all that, the first orchestra I want to invite is the Baltimore Symphony, because of the quality of the musicianship and the passion that the orchestra exudes. So I can't wait to share our wonderful BSO with everybody over there.
Well, now you've completely flipped my thinking because, I mean, I know that you yourself are very active internationally. You are the music director of the São Paulo State Symphony Orchestra in Brazil, and you're about to swap that to take over as chief conductor of the Vienna Radio Symphony Orchestra in Austria. I never have figured out how you can do all the international things that you yourself do. So why have you not taken the BSO on tour before?
You know, it's
on
really,
international tour.
Yes, I mean, I would say that, of course, we've gone regionally and nationally. But I think really the sad fundamental reason is economics. It's extremely expensive to go on tour. And it took a few years, you know, of course, in 2008 with the economic downturn and the crisis. You know, we've been really working hard to shore up the infrastructure of the orchestra and financially, and we're finally on a really great path. And it just felt like the right moment with this invitation from these prestigious festivals. But it is quite expensive, an endeavor. And so I think we've tried to be really conscious and prudent about our choices. But thanks to local support, corporate support, individuals, I have to say also the state and city have come on board. And I'm so excited because, you know, for people to hear the BSO and say, ah, this is what Baltimore is about. That's what I want them to think.
So you talked about the invitation from the Edinburgh Festival. How did the rest of the itinerary come about?
Well, I've performed at the BBC Proms many times. As a matter of fact, I've done the last night of the Proms, which is a big deal, twice now. And so it was really natural, since we were invited to Edinburgh, to find out whether the BBC Proms would be interested. And they were really, really excited. And then Dublin, which has an incredible international concert series, and we're going to open their concert series in Dublin. So that's I've performed at that venue a couple of times as well. And I have to say that I also am an Irish citizen. My grandfather was born in Belfast. So if I get stuck there, at least I have the right citizenship.
How did you choose what music would be performed on this tour?
That's a great question. For this particular tour, this was another reason, I think, and a compelling reason. This August 25th coming up will mark what would have been the 100th birthday of Leonard Bernstein. And so, of course, as one of his last students, I've been asked to do a lot of performances
this whole year has been a celebration of
exactly.
that centennial.
And so all of the programs are related in some measure to Bernstein, either pieces that he had a tremendous affinity for and promoted. On his birthday, when we're doing the final concert in Edinburgh, we're doing an all Bernstein concert. So that will be really special. And at the Proms, we're doing a program that really looks at Bernstein, the political activist. And our first program is really about Bernstein and in terms of his passion for variety and color in the orchestra. So each concert has a different aspect of Bernstein celebrated.
That's Maren Alsop, music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, here on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. She's telling us about the symphony's first overseas tour in 13 years to Edinburgh, Dublin, and London. It starts next week. I want to pick up on, you mentioned the BBC Proms concert and the sort of political aspects of Bernstein. I'd like to hear a bit of The Age of Anxiety. This is Leonard Bernstein's Symphony No. 2. What we will hear is you conducting Jean-Yves Thibaudet at the piano. This is Variation 3, Largamente Mamoso. So you've said that Age of Anxiety is a story, like most of what Bernstein did. What is the story? What's happening at that moment?
Well, this is a very specific story because the piece is based on an epic poem by W.H. Auden. And the poem is really exploring the unconscious mind of several strangers who happen to come into contact with each other at a bar and embark on these, we're not sure whether they're real or sort of virtual, we could say now, imagined journey together. And this is one of those variations of them taking this imagined trip together. And of course, it's a journey toward, like all pieces with Bernstein, it's a journey towards self-awareness of some kind.
Yeah, when you spoke about this piece on NPR 5 years ago, you told Scott Simon that for your mentor, Bernstein, quote, it was a question of believing in humanity. Bernstein believed fundamentally in the goodness of human beings. Faith is a thread throughout his music, close quote.
Yes, I think that Bernstein's commitment to positive belief and the philosophy of tolerance and unity, I think, is something that we could really use right now.
And yet the another Bernstein piece that night in London will be Slava, a political overture, and I gather that's kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, it's like a musical theater vaudeville number, and then in the middle of it, audio tape comes on, and it's like a some kind of political rally and blah blah blah, and they're all yelling at each other. You know, the left wing, the right wing, the middle wing, whoever's wing, and they're all yelling, and then they finally announce the President of the United States, and then the overture begins again. So it's a piece he wrote for Rostropovich, who was the music director of the National Symphony.
In Washington.
Yes, and a good friend, and so he wrote this. And at the end, everybody screams Slava, which was his nickname.
If people in Baltimore want to hear any of these performances, will they be able to? Any of your performances overseas?
That's a great question. We'll have to let you know about that. But I do know that the BBC concert on August 27th will be broadcast live on television, on BBC television. So if you can figure out a way to tune in, I know all the tricks, but don't call me about it. And I'm sure all the other programs will also be audio transmitted, but I know the BSO will be happily answer that question. So I hope everybody can tune in.
We will find the answer and put it on our website.
Oh, that would be great.
We have to take a quick break here. Can you stay with us
a
few more
minutes? Yeah, I'd love to.
Maren Alsop, music director of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, preparing for the BSO's four-concert tour of the UK. This afternoon at 5 p.m., Mayor Catherine Pugh will welcome the BSO's brass and percussion sections to City Hall Plaza for a free outdoor concert. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll meet one of the musicians on the tour, principal horn player Phil Munns. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. The Baltimore Symphony Orchestra is invading the United Kingdom next week. A small army of more than 100 musicians, 2 soloists, 2 conductors, 10 staffers, 78 cargo trunks carrying 3,900 pounds of instruments and equipment, all for engagements in 3 prominent concert series in Edinburgh, London, and Dublin. This is the BSO's first overseas tour since before Maren Alsop became its music director in 2007. We've been speaking with Alsop about the value of an international tour, and now we welcome the BSO's principal horn player, Philip Munns, who also lectures in the Wind and Percussion Division of the University of Maryland School of Music. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So I understand that before you were born, your mother was the children's chorus director at Covent Garden Opera House in London?
That is correct. It was a job that was created for my mother, and it's a job that still exists today at the Opera House. And she was the children's chorus director. She had that job, and she also taught in the local schools, taught music.
She was English?
She was British.
Yeah. British?
British, yeah.
How did she meet your father?
So, interesting story. My father was a tenor, and he was studying opera in Milan, in Italy. And one of my dad's friends borrowed money from my father. And this friend also knew my mother. And so my mom, when she was going on vacation to Italy, took the money back to pay my dad back from this friend. And she showed up at my dad's doorstep, and he opened the door, and this cute little English girl was sitting there with, I have money for you, and from Joe, and he said, wonderful, would you like to see Italy? So that was that.
Yeah. He's American.
He's American.
And so they got married.
They got married and very quickly.
And you were born in California?
I was born in California.
And raised there?
Yes. I went to England 6 months after I was born for about 6 months. And then I traveled, I think for the first 5 or 6 years, I went there every year for about 3 or 4 months. But I spent most of my summers in England as a child.
And you have just recently acquired British citizenship, correct?
I have, yes.
Why?
I was brought up very British. My mom cooked British. We had tea time. She was, you know, we watched British TV shows on PBS. We took many trips to England. And so I feel like, in a way, I was brought up more British than I was American, you know, as far as culture. So I fell in love with the country early on, with England and British culture. And I've just always wanted to do it. And I never have. I never did. 3 years ago, I lost my mom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And I'm pretty sure it was, you know, it just popped into my head, and it was a way to stay connected to her and to, you know, her life. So I did it. I went through the whole process, and, you know, I didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't know if I could, but the laws were in my favor. So mm-hmm. I was able to get British citizenship.
Do you have English family? Do you have cousins?
I have an Aunt Sheila who we visit. And my daughter actually is going to university in England right now. So we have family over there. And then I have a cousin who works in Parliament. And we're going to see him. And he's going to give us a little Parliament tour when we're over there on tour. So yeah.
What does it, with all these British connections, what does it mean to you to be on this tour with the BSO? I mean, you've been working, you've been playing with the BSO for more than 20 years.
21 years.
Principal horn since 2004.
Right. Yeah. Well, oh, it's incredible. I mean, this is my orchestra. This is, you know, I've been here for most of my professional life. And to take this to, you know, the great halls, to Royal Albert Hall, you know, a place I've never seen live, you know, to take the Baltimore Symphony into that setting is just going to be so thrilling. You know, I think for everyone in the orchestra, but I think maybe a little more for me.
Maren Alsop, is an international tour something that other musicians have been encouraging you to do? I mean, is this something that your musicians really want to do?
Oh, most definitely. I think that if you came over to the hall, you could feel the excitement, couldn't you? Today, oh, yeah. At the rehearsal, yep. everybody's thrilled. You know, it's exciting. It's bonding. It's a great morale boost, and artistically, it pushes us to try to, you know, because you're trying to be your best you can possibly be. So it's occasions like this that really move an orchestra to the next level of artistic excellence. So it's really important on many, many levels.
I don't know the music that's being played well enough to know what Phil Munns, what your...
He's got a lot of solos.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, a few, yeah.
So yeah. Just translate what Maren Alsop just said in terms of, are you under some stress here? Or is this
Principal Horn is always under stress, but yeah. Look how cool he is.
Yeah, it's a stressful job, but, you know, so we learn the art of focus, you know. So we get into these situations. They're stressful situations, but I agree with what Maren said that, you know, a tour like this can really focus an orchestra and really, you know, kind of hone our skills so that we listen and you know, because we want to sound good. We want to do our best and you know, with a whole new group of people listening.
So, yeah. And I think while it's stressful, it's, you know, it's not about any one individual. It's about the collective collaboration of, you know, 100 people coming together in the service of beauty and greatness. And so I don't think, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I don't think any one of us feels that, oh, it's all riding on us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a collective energy, and everybody's holding each other up, you know what I mean, to be the best that they can be.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Philip Munns, principal horn of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, and BSO music director Maren Alsop. We're talking about the BSO's performance tour this month in the United Kingdom. I understand it is not a simple matter to transport the instruments of 100-plus musicians across the Atlantic, and it's not just keeping the instruments physically safe, but also proving that they comply with international rules about things like endangered species?
Yes, well, that's sort of a relatively new development, because many of the tips and sometimes the both ends of the bows used by the string players have traditionally been made of ivory. Mm. And so there was a new law passed that you can't transport ivory internationally. Of course, the poor elephants, I mean, may they rest in peace. I'm sorry they're gone, but they're gone now. But usually these materials are now confiscated. So there's been some issues with musicians having their instruments, confiscated, actually, and some of them just destroyed. Mm. So we had to, the management had to go through with all the musicians and make sure that they're taking bows or have the ivory replaced with some other material so that we don't have any problems. I don't think the brass have these issues.
We don't have that issue.
I was going to ask, did you have to do anything special to get your
it's a big horn? Hunk of metal. Yeah.
just don't walk through the magnetometer.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Overture, the BSO's magazine, described it as the equivalent of each instrument having to have its own passport.
Well, I think it's almost more complex than that because there have to be their individual rules governing each of these products, and so you have to be extremely careful for all of these things. And yeah, it's a complicated. I think that, you know, it's one thing to travel with 200 people, 150 people. It's another thing to keep instruments that are so valuable and so precious safe, you know, and humidified. And you have to make sure the atmosphere in the cargo hold is conducive to maintaining the instruments. So it's quite a big production.
Any other logistical challenges that most of us lay people wouldn't even think of?
Where's the party? That's usually the question. No.
Well, let me ask you this really pedestrian question. How do you cope with jet lag as a musician? You don't have very many days from when you get there until you're performing, and you described a few minutes ago the excellence that you are both aiming for. How do you get yourself ready for that and keep yourself at that top level while you're there?
Well, I'm going a day early to prepare a little bit. I do pretty well when I go to the UK, fairly often. So I do pretty well.
The trick is not to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I think keep moving when you get there and get outside,
get outside,
some light, and listen. You know, some people who aren't some of the musicians who aren't as experienced with the jet lag, they may have some trouble. But of course, we also will travel with our own physician, who can offer some advice on that. And I don't know, maybe heat up some warm milk at night for everybody. And I think the trick also is not to stress about it. I travel, all the time, and there are a few nights when I'm just up, and I figured that's what my body needs. Don't stress it.
So what to you would be the most wonderful outcome of this trip? What will you be watching for to know that this has really been a success?
Well, for me, it's already been a success. Just seeing the orchestra in this rehearsal period and the vibe and the positive, I think, and the coming together of our community, to support this tour and give us the big send-off they gave us. And, it already feels like a success, but I can't wait to see the look on the musician's face when we walk into the Royal Albert Hall and they see it for the first time. I've been there many times. So I hope everybody, you know, usually orchestras are just like kids. Wow, wow. So I hope the BSO will have that same reaction.
I think on tour, we're together a lot. And, you know, when we're in Baltimore, we come to rehearsal, we play concerts, and we go home usually. Some people go out. But on tour, we're together all the time. So I think, you know, tours are really good for, like, you know, team building and yeah. creating identity for the orchestra. And I think that, you know, we really start seeing ourselves as an orchestra, as a unit, you know, on tour, because we're living together.
Yeah. I wish you a wonderful trip. Good luck.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
BSO Music Director Marin Alsop is leading the orchestra on its first international tour in 13 years with concerts at three distinguished series in Edinburgh, London, and Dublin. They leave next week. Principal horn Philip Munns, with his new UK passport, is one of more than 100 musicians who will take part. If you'd like to wish the BSO bon voyage, show up at 5 p.m. at City Hall Plaza this afternoon. The BSO is offering a free concert by its brass and percussion section at City Hall Plaza. Associate conductor Nicholas Hirsch will lead fanfares and classical favorites, including selections from Strauss, Handel, and John Williams. A selection of food trucks will be on site, too. We've got information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening On the Record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.